Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm Jon Favreau.
I'm Jon Lovett.
I'm Tommy Vitor.
On today's show, Donald Trump says he's going to replace FBI Director Chris Wray with Kash Patel, who said he wants to prosecute journalists and Trump critics. Fun. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth faces newly reported allegations about what a shitty person he is, including from his mom. And Bernie Sanders finally finds common cause with a billionaire. Even crazier, it's Elon Musk.
Here's the question I had after reading the news today is, who had a rougher Thanksgiving with the family? Joe Biden being buttonholed about pardoning his son, or Pete Hegseth dealing with his mother's letter in the New York Times?
Well, the letter is from like 2018.
Yeah, I know, but it sort of came up this
weekend.
And
the pardon was after Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, of course it was. You spent a weekend being fucking hammered by your whole family for a pardon. You'd do it Sunday night too. Just get off my goddamn back.
Anyway, so Bernie found common cause with billionaire Elon Musk. We'll talk about that. We'll get into all the do's and doges of collaborating with oligarchs to cut defense spending. I want you guys to know that Reed told me he wrote that line as a personal challenge to my dignity.
That was
tough. Really? Yeah,
well. And which guess, challenge accepted.
Who won that?
Challenge accepted. All right. That's for you, Reed. But first, I hope everyone had a lovely Thanksgiving. Why are you laughing?
I don't know. It's just funny, the news.
Donald Trump commemorated the holiday by sending wishes to all of us radical left lunatics who worked so hard to destroy this country. Looks like we failed. He also posted an homage to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which we had mentioned is one of our favorite Christmas movies, certainly mine, where he pops out of a deep fake Joe Biden's turkey and dances to YMCA. I think it's some of his best work.
It was very funny. I don't think he makes them. I think they steal them from the internet.
Yeah, no, you don't think...
I don't think his campaign makes them either. I think they just rip them off of Reddit.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I found Trump's staff announcements less compelling. He said he'll appoint the fathers of two of his son-in-laws to big positions. Massad Boulos, the Lebanese-born father of Tiffany Trump's husband, Michael, will be senior advisor to the president on Arab and Middle Eastern affairs. He got a lot of expertise there, Tommy?
Not that I can tell.
I think he did run for parliament
in Lebanon.
Businessman
in Lebanon, yeah. I think he lost.
And Charles Kushner, the former real estate developer and convicted felon who's Jared's father, will be ambassador to France. Yeah, a reminder that Charles Kushner is the guy who retaliated against his own sister for cooperating with federal investigators looking into his business practices by soliciting a prostitute to sleep with her husband, filming it, and mailing her the tape.
Honestly, yes, terrible. But also, I don't know, something you can kind of see Benjamin Franklin doing.
Some straight up game.
Creative.
If he had the technology.
I think they didn't want the brother-in-law to testify in a financial fraud case against him, too. So there's a lot of depth to this.
Trump pardoned him in 2020. And now he, if confirmed, is off to France. Not to be outdone in the special favors for family members category, Joe Biden made the biggest nepotism news of the weekend when he announced a pardon for his son, Hunter, something he repeatedly said during the campaign he would not do. Earlier this year, Hunter pled guilty to federal tax charges in Los Angeles and was found guilty in a federal court in Delaware for lying about his drug addiction on his application to buy a gun. The president released a long statement saying he'd come to the conclusion that Hunter's prosecution had been political the whole time, and that, quote, there has been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me. And there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision. All right, I got two Americans right here. Do you guys understand? What do you think?
On a human level, obviously I get it. It's not just a father pardoning his son. It's a dad who lost a baby girl, as an infant. Beau Biden passed away recently. It's also probably true on the merits that Hunter got harsher treatment because of his last name. But it's also the fact that President Biden lied and repeatedly lied and said he wouldn't pardon Hunter or commute a sentence. He had his press secretary lie on his behalf. Biden's supporters held up Joe Biden's refusal to pardon Hunter as an example of his commitment to the rule of law in contrast with Trump. But NBC News reported that when they decided to put this out there and say that that Biden wasn't going to pardon his son, actually, Biden and his top aides knew that it was still an open question. And so now everyone looks stupid. Everyone looks like they're full of shit. And Republicans are going to use this to argue that it was politics as usual when Democrats warned about Trump's corruption or threat to the rule of law or, you know, the threat to democracy. And I think that's the piece of this I am most frustrated with, which is Joe Biden looking like a typical lying politician. And I think that leads to a cynical feeling that all politicians are bad and they're all the same and that this is just par for the course. And so I'm not really worried that this is going to make it easier for Trump to be corrupt or to ignore the rule of law himself. He was already going to do it. He'd already named Matt Gaetz to lead the Department of Justice.
He campaigned on it.
Already hinted at using the pardon power for January 6th.
More than a hint, yeah.
Right, right. He's
going to pardon literally all the guys. Campaign promise.
Yeah, but also, I mean, Hunter's pardon is expansive here. It covers, goes back a decade. So the right wingers, I listened to Ben Shapiro this morning, like they're all saying what this shows is that Joe Biden was in on the take the whole time, that he was getting money from Hunter's business dealings because he pardoned this decade's worth of time. And now I think Joe Biden damaged his own reputation in service of doing something understandable on a human level for his son. And he also damaged the Democratic Party's reputation. And the question I have is Hunter the only one getting saved here? What about like Dr. Fauci? What about Liz Cheney, who's getting told that she should be tried for treason?
Can I make a point about that? Because this is the like the main thing that I've been thinking of, and I've been thinking about it even before the Hunter pardon was announced. If Joe Biden had come out either over the weekend or in several weeks, or maybe he'll do this before he leaves and says, like, look, I take it seriously that Donald Trump campaigned on prosecuting people he doesn't agree with and throwing them in jail, and Kash Patel and Matt Gaetz and all these people show that he's going to carry through. And so I am issuing a full blanket pardon for all of these people who have been targets and who have been on Trump's enemies list. Like, first of all, I think if he does do that, it makes the Hunter pardon seem more acceptable to me. And if he doesn't do that, then I think it's even more infuriating that he saved his son and not a whole bunch of other people who were just government servants doing their job.
Right.
Yeah, that's my because look, we joked about it in the past, and I look, whether or not Biden actually in his mind believed he was going to try to not do this, or on some level he always knew he would do it, I don't know. But I thought he was going to do this. I felt like this was something that was coming.
I feel like a fucking fool, you know. That's what makes me mad about it.
Well, like there's sort of, to me, I was just thinking about this specific pardon, like, and there have been, like, I don't know, there the presidential pardon is expansive, and presidents have used it in different ways, some more corrupt than others, some just outright corrupt, right? We've seen that. And sometimes presidents use it, like President Obama used it, like President Biden used it, right? For clemency and pardons for people convicted of nonviolent drug offenses, for people that were kicked out of the military for being gay. Then you have pardons that are kind of like, I don't know, they're not, they are in service of an abuse of power. You have Trump's pardons of a bunch of people that were involved in crimes around him. You have George H.W. Bush's pardons around Iran-Contra. Then you have these kind of like corrupt hand of God pardons that are just like, I'm just doing a favor. I'm saying fuck it on my way out the door.
You ever read the Jimmy Carter ones?
What are the Jimmy?
They're incredible. Keep going. I'll tell you later.
But like there's the Mark Rich pardon. There's the Roger Clinton pardon. And then I put this pardon in that list, just like it's a fuck it, last out the door pardon. Actually, the Charles Kushner one is like that.
For sure.
Two, what's strange about this is A, it comes now. B, there's no acknowledgement in the statement that part of the rationale should be that Donald Trump is about to become president, right? The statement is very kind of like, I don't know, like kind of imperious.
Or sympathy inducing.
And it's like, oh,
you like pity me?
Like he's been sober for a long time. There's a lot of people on whom like the gears of justice have like turned while they were trying desperately to maintain their sobriety, and no pardons for them.
Can I just point out too, on that point, when Joe Biden decided to run in 2019, Hunter had already gone through a lot of these challenges. And so the time you could make a decision that would protect Hunter Biden from the kind of political glare and from Republican attacks was then.
I mean, I'm sorry to say that. I think that Joe Biden is a tragic figure. Like, and I think that there are many good parts of it. I mean, Lovett, you talked about this back in the whole post-debate, is he going to drop out thing, the two Joe Bidens kind of thing. But I do think, like, he has shown incredible decency at times. And I really feel for what he's gone through and what his family has gone through. They've gone through hell. Like, none of us can imagine what they've gone through. But, like, his ego, again and again, has, like, gotten in the way. And when push comes to shove, it's like, well, I'm going to do what's good for, I'm going to run for president again, even though it's fucking crazy to do that. And like, I shouldn't do it and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to do it, you know? And now we're all here. And like, this to me is like in that category.
Yeah. And it's also the timing. I do think the timing matters. Like, if this did come on Christmas Eve, or it did come in a couple weeks after he'd done some kind of pardons or something around being afraid of Donald Trump abusing his office, it might have been different.
Do you guys have a guess on the timing, or have you read anything?
I thought it was because of the sentencing. One of the sentencings is December 12th for the gun charges. The other is December 16th for tax evasion. So I figured he just didn't want him to go to jail. He just wanted to sort it out now.
I know. I saw that too, but then I thought, this is what's confusing about this, the full and unconditional pardon, because you could have imagined a scenario where Hunter gets sentenced and then Biden commutes the sentence, or, you know, says that it's going to serve less or whatever else and waits for it. But if you're going to do the full 10 years, full and unconditional pardon, we haven't really seen in this country since Ford pardoned Nixon. Mm-hmm. That even I was reading that even Trump's pardons were like pardoning all of his cronies and pals and family members for like specific crimes. Yeah. And this was everything. It does make the argument that this was about Trump coming, returning to power and going after Hunter, like more salient,
for sure.
In which case you'd think, why don't a whole bunch of other people Trump's going to go after get the same thing?
Exactly. And by the way, it also, like, Hunter pleaded guilty and was convicted on crimes that are ancillary to the kind of core conservative critique, the core sleaziness of Hunter Biden, which is the Burisma stuff and some of the trading of influence, right? Which were not part of these charges. And that now that slate is wiped clean. So of course, conservatives are going to say, see, Joe Biden is just protecting himself.
Yeah. I think they assumed that it was just going to be lawfare. But yeah, I agree. I mean, Joe Biden made it worse for himself, for his own reputation. I do not believe, I've never seen any evidence to suggest that Joe Biden was getting money from Hunter Biden's business dealings. No. The save some for the big guy email, none of it makes any sense. None of it has been squared with like financial records or other information that I think would have made, would have proved this case.
Yeah, so that's why it's just like, so now he's done this, okay? If in the next couple of weeks, Joe Biden uses the pardon power again, it will always be in the context of this Hunter Biden pardon, the sort of strange decision to put this out on a Sunday night. And will also, by the way, also comes at a moment when we're about to have a debate about Cash Patel and about abuse of the Justice Department and abuse of the FBI.
Exactly.
Now, if anybody uses the Hunter Biden pardon as a justification for approving these fucking bozos, they always wanted that permission. And like, I don't care about that. They don't need it. So I'm not like, you've just given them ammunition. No, I don't care about that.
I care about the internal credibility of the Democratic Party and people who fought for Joe Biden to be president.
Can I ask you guys, because it obviously bothers all three of us. I've had like friends, family members be like, who cares about this? Like, if I was Biden, I'd do it too. And look, I would pardon my sons probably if I was in that position. It's still wrong. Like, I mean, I hope I wouldn't be in that position, but like, I don't know. Do you think the political effect? I mean, Tommy, you raised the point that you're worried about the credibility of the Democratic Party. We just went through an election where people decided, don't really care much about norms and institutions and democracy as much as I care about inflation and other issues that affect their lives directly. Do you think, conversely, that this would actually piss people off?
Yes, very much. I think they care about people being full of shit. They care about corruption. They care about hypocrisy. Mm. My guess is that like if you polled people right now, it would be the majority of people would understand it on a human level, but that support for this decision would kind of track Joe Biden's approval, but then you lose a bunch of Democrats, right? Because we, I think, believe in good government. And so I don't know. I just do not think this is going to wear well over time. I don't know that this will be one of the top five things that we talk about, but I do think it's a tough way to go out.
Yeah. When you're, it's hard to, when you're at the bottom there, do you know his approval rating right now? So Trump's approval rating when he left office after inciting an insurrection and trying to overturn the election was 38%. Joe Biden right now is sitting at 37%.
I guess for me, like, I do think that what happens in the next couple of weeks matters for what this pardon looks like in hindsight. If he doesn't, like, we have a short window for Joe Biden to use presidential authority to do everything he can to protect the country against abuses of power by Donald Trump and his cronies. And if he doesn't use the pardon power in the next couple of weeks, and what we're left with is Hunter Biden doesn't get to be subjected to kind of capricious right wingers in the Department of Justice, but all these other people do, as you said, Liz Cheney, Fauci, Mark Milley, journalists, whoever
Jack
it may
Smith,
be,
yeah.
That will be, I think, quite an indictment of this pardon. I am right now mostly frustrated by the timing of it and the kind of, I don't know, the kind of the falseness of the statement, which doesn't acknowledge that this is, like, I don't know what Joe Biden would have done if Kamala Harris won. Maybe he would have done this anyway, but I would have liked some acknowledgement that this is because he's worried about future abuses of power. And I would have wanted this to be in the context of all these other people that Donald Trump has threatened.
You know what I was thinking? Should have done it during the campaign. Boy, would it have given Kamala an opportunity to finally break from Biden.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Kamala the cop could have come down hard on that one.
Yeah, I will walk this back.
That's right. That's right. Turn a bug into a feature, I guess.
One more thing before you. Like, the pardon power is crazy.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, first of all, I think...
Upheld recently by the Supreme Court.
Right. We have learned over the last 8 years now, if something is a norm and it's important, maybe make it a law. Right, because the norms are gone. Trump doesn't abide by norms. No one seemed to care. He campaigned on not abiding by norms. No one seemed to care. No one seemed to care that he promised to pardon people who assaulted police officers on their way to overturn an election. That was fine. That didn't ruin Trump.
Well, this is what I mean by hinting, though. Right? He never said he would, like, basically not exactly describe who would get the pardon. You say the worst people wouldn't.
One reporter at the National Association of Black Journalists said even the ones who assaulted police officers, like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, but anyway, I do think Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat, tweeted that he has had a constitutional amendment to reform pardon power so that it bans pardons for the president's family, staff, crimes committed for their benefit. It's a constitutional amendment. We can't barely keep the government open, so whatever. But it did make me think. I'm like, yeah, if he's like, I've also had no Republican co-sponsors in 8 years on this proposal. He's like, if anyone wants to join. But I do think, like, I think the pardon power is like so ripe for abuse. And yeah, I'd be for a constitutional amendment that would maybe rein it in a bit.
If you go back and look, I mean, it not just ripe, it's been abused. It's
so
often abused. Yeah. If you go back and so I was just reading about pardons and just for the fun of it and just reading what Nixon was saying about why he was pardoning Jimmy Hoffa. And by the way, it sort of, you know, probably ultimately was not to Jimmy Hoffa's benefit because where'd he go? Yeah. But, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, careful what you wish for.
Not a good outcome.
But he's just basically saying, like, come, we got to do this because it's basically helping us in the 72 election.
Wait, Tommy, before we move on, can you give us the Jimmy Carter ones?
Well, I hope these are right because I just got them off of Twitter. But G. Gordon Liddy,
right.
Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary, who did something I don't know the details of with a 14-year-old. The Vietnam War draft resistors, all of them blanket. Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy.
Jefferson Davis.
Wouldn't have gotten my pardon.
Yeah, so wild set there. I mean, look, big picture, look. We had this fight over norms, institutions, trust in government. We lost. but I do think this erodes people's faith in the justice system. It erodes people's faith in my belief that the prosecutions of Donald Trump were fair.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has been championing the rules-based international order and norms and institutions, and then he jettisons them when his son needs a pardon, or when
our party.
That's a party.
I bet it's going to be quite a party for him tonight.
Or when Bibi Netanyahu is the one getting prosecuted for war crimes and not Vladimir Putin, right? I mean, it's just like, it's very situational.
Yeah. I mean, he could have come out and pardoned Trump and Hunter at the same time on political prosecutions.
That would have been actually hilarious.
You could have, because, but this is
so
gets,
mad.
This
gets so mad.
This gets to your problem, Tommy, that, like, if you're going to argue that the Justice Department, by the way, Biden's Justice Department, unfairly targeted Hunter Biden and that Hunter Biden would never have been targeted were he not the president's son, then you can look at Alvin Bragg's case.
Of course.
And think that, like, yes, what Trump did was illegal and it's good that he got convicted because he broke the law. But would he? Would someone like Trump have gotten targeted if he was not President Trump?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not arguing against you. I'm just saying,
that's why, like, again,
it's why, like, you don't have to think, like, it has a political effect or it gives the Republicans ammunition or anything else to just think, like, sometimes things are just wrong. If we believe in laws and everything else, it's just wrong.
This is why, again, like, as I said, like, weeks ago, I think Joe Biden gets one. Pardon your son. Fuck it. It's your fuck it pardon. You've win. You know, you're everybody will understand. But the statement is what's fucking killing me.
And just to knowingly lie about it.
Yeah.
And to string a bunch of people along.
And make your staff lie about it. Like, yeah. Like his press secretary, she lied about it all the time.
So just say, like, I originally had not planned to do this. Donald Trump winning has made me nervous that they will try to use my son to get at me and score political points. It's a dangerous time. I'm going to pardon my son, Hunter. I'm also issuing pardons for anyone that Donald Trump or those who he's planning to put in positions of authority have been threatened with political prosecutions. We do not do political prosecutions
in this country. With the major exception of Pod Save America.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. God, man. What a
No one's going to save
us. Let me actually say I want to revise my opinion, which is to say I would like Joe Biden to issue some pardons in advance, but not so many that they go down the list far enough to get to us. Yeah. Leave some big targets on there. leave some big fish above us.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one. Download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Speaking of people that I have a strange new admiration and respect for, let's talk about Kash Patel, the next FBI director.
Handsome guy.
I always loved Kash Patel.
Handsome yeah. guy.
No, absolutely. Down with the deep state. This has long been rumored that Kash Patel was going to get this. Now it's apparently coming true, even though Chris Wray nominally has 3 years left in his 10-year term. If you haven't made it past the headlines, Patel is a former prosecutor who became a staffer on the House Intel Committee under Devin Nunes. Oof, Devin Nunes. That's talking about someone from season one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he became a critic of the Russia investigation and became a Trump World rising star. Patel worked at various jobs in the White House and the executive branch and hung around with Trump after he left office. You may remember him getting wrapped up in the classified documents investigation. But Patel's biggest claim to fame is for being the purest and most outspoken warrior against the so-called deep state and its allies in the woke media. Here he is in conversation with Steve Bannon a year ago.
The deep state, the administrative state, the fourth branch of government never mentioned in the Constitution, is going to be taken apart brick by brick. And the people that did these evil deeds will be held accountable and prosecuted, criminal prosecutions. Do you believe that you can deliver the goods on this in a pretty short order of the first couple of months so we can get rolling on prosecutions?
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you. Whether it's criminally or civilly, we'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice. And Steve, this is why they hate us. This is why we're tyrannical. This is why we're dictators.
Well, got that part right.
Oh, boy.
This is a very season one story. You dig an inch into this and you're getting back to Nelly Orr and Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele.
The lovers.
It's tough. It's terrible.
So there was some chatter in the Crooked Slack about whether Kash Patel is the new worst nominee now that Matt Gaetz withdrew. What do you guys think? How worried should we be about Kash Patel?
I think very worried. I think this is now the worst one. I think if Matt Gaetz were still in the contention, you might have a debate, but it's now an intellectual exercise. So Patel gets to be the worst one. There was a great profile on The Atlantic of Kash Patel that people should read. There was one line that jumped out at me from an advisor to Trump who said that Kash is the one you say to, hey, I'm not telling you to go break into the DNC, but ... And that to me is what makes this so nerve-wracking. You look at, like, he doesn't seem to have a very strong ideology, but but then you nothing is more
he was a DOJ under Obama,
right? And nothing is more, I think, disconcerting than anyone who has become a rising star in Trump world. And why is he a rising Trump in Trump world? Because he is a lackey. He will say anything. You mentioned the classified documents investigation. When he was interviewed by Breitbart, and he said, oh, actually, Trump declassified all that stuff. Why is there no record of it? I don't know. He just said it to me, though. He said it. He declassified all that stuff with me. He is the guy that says what Trump needs him to say, who does what Trump needs him to do, which is why he wants him to be in charge of the FBI and what makes him so dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, look, me and Rhodes have been on the Kash Patel watch for a very long time. This guy is not remotely qualified to lead the FBI. He's never worked at the FBI. He barely worked in law enforcement. He's a limited experience. He was a public defender, which is a great job, not one that qualifies you to lead the FBI. He's a congressional aide, and then he kind of bounced around the Trump administration. He says he was chief of staff at the Pentagon, but he was the chief of staff there for 2 months to the acting Secretary of Defense. So his boss during the Trump administration, a guy named Charles Cooperman, said, quote, he's absolutely unqualified for this job. He's untrustworthy. It's an absolute disgrace to American citizens to even consider an individual of this nature.
Former Trump official,
that's
you say.
That's a person who worked boss, in the Trump administration. Him. Yeah. So, like, basically,
what I'd love to hear him at the confirmation hearing.
Me too.
That.
I hope they call him. So, Lovett's summary of him is correct, which is he tells Trump what he wants to hear. He feeds his paranoia about the deep state. There's no evidence that this guy's a reformer who has big ideas for how the FBI could be better. What there is a lot of evidence of is that Kash Patel is someone who keeps an enemies list. In fact, he published it in his book. It includes people like Bill Barr and John Bolton, who worked for Trump, to John Brennan and Loretta Lynch, who were Obama aides, to Hillary Clinton. Tim Miller tweeted out this full list. It includes Cassidy Hutchinson, who was an assistant to Mark Meadows. This is apparently like the leading lights of the deep state. It's just like random people who are mean to Donald Trump.
That he just didn't like personally and had banned personal interactions.
Right, or was mean to Kash personally. But, one of the most sort of disturbing allegations about Kash Patel is from his time working at the Pentagon. Long story short, Navy SEALs were preparing a rescue operation in Western Africa and Nigeria. They needed to get permission from the Nigerian government to fly a U.S. military plane into their airspace. According to Mark Esper, the Secretary of Defense, Kash Patel just told everybody that they'd gotten this permission. He said he'd gotten the word from Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, and no one realized that he had just made it up. They were about to land or about to go into Nigerian airspace and figured out, wait, Kash Patel just made up that we had permission. So these guys circled and circled and circled. They almost had to call off a rescue operation. And luckily, they got permission. They landed. They rescued this guy and everything was okay. But the worst case scenario is you've got a plane full of Navy SEALs getting shot at by the Nigerian military.
Or the hostage gets shot at because they had to abandon the mission.
Yeah, because you could have had a bunch of people killed. So it's a bizarre selection. It's someone who's just a Trump ass-kisser acolyte and not ready for this.
But could I interest you in some Kash wine? He sells it for $233.99 for six bottles.
For six, yeah.
Yeah, he's a real...
It's good stuff.
I didn't understand until I got into the Atlantic piece what a grifter he is. I mean, I'm not surprised by that, but he goes after it a lot.
So when you dig into this guy, there's all the ways in which he is just sort of a Trump crony who will abuse his power. But the story Tommy is telling, it's really just strange. Because even Republicans... that were like kind of baffled, like they otherwise defenders of Trump, like, why would you do this? Like, why? Like, it's not like
there wasn't an ideological partisan.
No,
well, reason that some people speculate that he just wanted it to happen, wanted the operation to happen because it was almost the election,
right,
and they wanted a win,
right? So that he was willing to lie, but like in such a kind of dangerous and unhinged way, In that Atlantic piece, there is an anecdote about basically this sort of shitty judge in Texas sort of upbraiding him for not wearing a tie. Mm-hmm. It's like a very like specific story, but he's so agitated by it. He keeps coming back to his bosses over and over again.
Grievance.
Looking for someone to kind of take his side. And he's like, what do you want us to do, man? Like, we're not going to make a... We're not, like, there's just this sort of like
This is someone you want in charge of the surveillance state and law enforcement.
He's also an author. And I just want this...
A kid's book,
A kid's book. This is the description of the book. Hillary Quinton and her shifty knight, Adam Schiff, have spread lies that King Donald had cheated to become king. They claimed he was working with the Russianians. But how could that be? Joint cash to distinguished discoverer as he uncovers the plot against the king and who was really behind all the lies.
Weirdest thing about that is why didn't he just use Russians?
Because it's a magical world filled with Russianians.
You gotta have a dual meaning for the parents and the kids.
Then why would you make it Hillary Quinton?
I do... What's chilling, back to what's scary and not what's absurd, the line that you mentioned, Lovett, from the Trump advisor, that he's the guy that says, you know, Trump says, hey, I'm not telling you to go break into the DNC. He is the kind of person that would not necessarily just take orders from Trump to do things that are horrible and illegal, but just do them thinking that it would impress Trump. That's it, right? And also not seemingly be that competent about doing it, as the Africa story suggests.
Well, and also a guy who would run an organization that has all the authorities it needs to surveil, otherwise harass American citizens.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be a trend today, too. These are not people who have engendered esteem from even right-wingers around them, which hopefully will damn their nominations, but would also, I think, ultimately damn them if they were to attain these jobs.
Chris Hayes said on his show once that Kash Patel at the FBI is what would happen if you crossed J. Edgar Hoover with Alex Jones.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a chilling.
Yeah, that's right. One thing's for sure, Pete Hegseth is trying to give Kash Patel a run for his money. Trump's nominee to oversee the Defense Department's nearly 3 million employees and $840 billion budget is the subject of a new Jane Mayer investigation over at The New Yorker about Hegseth's tenure at two veterans organizations that he ran. He apparently was forced out of Concerned Veterans for America for being drunk in the office and even drunker at official events, preying on female staffers, and allegedly chanting kill all Muslims at a bar while on work travel. Before that, he ran a group called Vets for Freedom, where he reportedly racked up huge debt and once again instilled a culture permissive of sexual misconduct. Apparently, he's such a shitbag that the New York Times got a hold of an email from his own mother in 2018, where she took the side of his estranged wife during a legal battle. She wrote to her son, "You are an abuser of women. That is the ugly truth, and I have no respect for any man that belittles, lies, cheats, sleeps around, and uses women for his own power and ego. You are that man and have been for years, and as your mother, it pains me and embarrasses me to say that, but it is the sad, sad truth."
Oof. Tough.
The Times reporter says that Hegseth told her that she immediately sent her son a follow-up email apologizing and taking it back. Yeah, it's a tough one to take back. She said the things she wrote are not true and have never been true. It's we've all gone through that with our moms.
You meant the first one. You know what I mean? The walk back is what it is. You probably felt bad about the first one, but you meant the first one.
Yeah. It was not true what I wrote in
excruciating detail.
So the Times posted the email in full and then an article about the email. And the article says that basically she regretted it, wrote another email after, which I did not see. When I read the email first, all I had seen, I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, my mom and I got in a little argument because my fridge broke, and the question was whether or not we could cook the turkey, you know, and it got heated, but not like this.
No, yeah, I didn't see her Fran's reaction in the New York Times.
Why would the fridge prevent the cooking of the turkey?
The fridge broke, and so the turkey had been at about 50 degrees overnight.
Too warm.
And it had, well, we didn't know when it became 50 degrees. I was a bit stubborn.
Was this after it had been spatchcocked?
It had, and I had to go run out and spatchcock a second fucking turkey. Hey, I spatchcocked two turkeys.
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah. What a weekend.
Yeah. RFK over there.
Anyway, Pete Hegseth. I don't know. Does this change what we know about Hegseth in any meaningful ways? Certainly on the, like, sexual abuser misconduct category, I think it just strengthens the case there.
Yes.
But the mismanagement of an organization, or two organizations.
Multiple organizations.
It feels like that's notable.
The U.S. military has a huge problem with sexual assault in both preventing it and holding those accountable. Part of that problem was that the decisions being made about who to prosecute, whether or not to prosecute these guys, was being made within the chain of command and not by independent prosecutors, Pete Hegseth would be at the top of that chain of command, right? So I think that this is actually a uniquely serious problem in the U.S. military if he were to be the leader of it. Joni Ernst, Republican senator from Iowa, did a lot of work trying to reform the system. I would love to hear what she thinks about Pete Hegseth leading his organization.
Who, by the way, was also rumored to be on the shortlist for defense secretary.
Right.
And then was spotted last week at Mar-a-Lago with Trump. So maybe he's already having second thoughts. Who knows?
Now, let's say that other allegation, let's say it's not true. Okay. What is not disputed is that Pete Hegseth is a serial adulterer, which in the U.S. military can get you a year in prison or dishonorable discharge, right? I'm not here to scold people for personal failings or whatever, but I'm just saying if you go by the UCMJ, these are big deals. So also true for public intoxication and drunkenness. Clearly reading all these articles, Pete Hegseth has a pretty serious drinking problem, or at least did pretty recently. And so the last part that you were getting at, John, was the New Yorker story talks about his mismanagement of an organization that has between 5 and 10 people and a $5 and $10 million budget. So now we're going to take this dude who can't run that organization, put him in charge of the Department of Defense, which employs nearly 3 million people and has a yearly budget of over $800 billion.
And also, like, again, similar to the people that have been behind the scenes saying they're worried about Cash Patel, like, this is Concerned Veterans for America is not like the
VFW.
They were concerned.
They got pretty concerned. These
are some concerned veterans. But this is an Americans for Prosperity group. This is a Koch brothers group. These are conservatives inside of this organization. And one person said, I've seen him dragged away not a few times, but multiple times. To have him at the Pentagon would be scary. When those of us who worked at CVA heard he was being considered for SecDef, it wasn't no, it was hell no. Like, the people that have worked with him are like, are you out of your fucking minds?
You guys remember when Trump's former defense secretary, Jim Mattis, said that he used to sleep in his clothes because he was so worried that in the middle of the night he'd get a call that Trump might start a nuclear war with North Korea? I mean, Pete Hegseth, just be drunk. Just
blacked out. The good news is he wouldn't wake up to get
that's
the call.
That's what I'm saying. That's what
so
I'm
we wouldn't have to worry about the war till the morning.
Mr. President, could you just give me till morning?
Yeah, we got Donald Trump, Kim Jong Un, autocrats around the world, nuclear weapons, and Pete Hegseth just hammered, just walking around the Pentagon.
But again, I mean, you wouldn't be able to get a security clearance or pass a background check with this rap sheet, and now this guy's going to be in the nuclear chain of command. Seems bad.
There was another passage from the Jane Mayer piece that I just thought was striking. It included the phrase, close down the bar at the Sheraton Suites Hotel. I thought that was a bad sign. This is all around the kill all Muslims part is what is all taking place during this section. The staffer letter cited a second incident in which Hegseth passed out in the back of a party bus, then urinated in front of a hotel where CVA's team was staying. I'll tell you this because it's the truth, and I sincerely care about the mission of CVA. Now, just to give you a sense of, like, these are conservatives, when Jane Mayer reached out for that person said, if you print that, I will deny I wrote it.
I love this.
When he was reminded by Jane Mayer that it had been sent from the same personal email account that he still used, he said, I don't care. I'll just say it never happened. Like, these are
sounds like he might have peed at a Sheraton a few times too.
We've all peed outside of Sheraton Suites. All right,
listen,
party bus. You know,
this guy's a top notch liar, though. To be like, listen, on the record, if you print my thing, I'm gonna say it's a lie. That's just an incredible strategy.
So good.
You know what? His name wasn't printed, so yeah. Win for that guy. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. One thing before we do that. On the latest episode of our subscriber-exclusive show, Inside 2024, Alyssa Mastromonaco and former White House Social Secretary Deesha Dyer talk about White House holiday traditions. It's a fun look inside how the White House entertains at holiday time and what happens when people puke eggnog on priceless works of art.
Oh.
Did that happen?
I'm trying to think who did that. Didn't that happen at our cricket holiday?
And it worked.
That's exciting.
It was on Sarawak, though.
That's true. To get access to this series and more, sign up for our Friends of the Pod community. Today is the last day to take advantage of our 25% off sale on all annual subscriptions. Joining our Friends of the Pod is the best way to support our work at Crooked Media. Head to crooked.com/friends to learn more or subscribe now from this feed on Apple Podcasts.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up. so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, so we now have several all-time most awful nominees lined up to run some of the most powerful agencies in government. We got Hegseth at Defense, Patel at the FBI, Tulsi Gabbard in charge of the intelligence agencies, and don't forget RFK Jr. in charge of public health. Defeating any of these nominations would require four Republican senators to oppose them. So far, a few Republicans have made mildly critical or at least not fully supportive comments about Hegseth, Gabbard, and RFK Jr. No real vocal opposition to Patel just yet. Democrats are obviously playing defense against a lot of horrible nominees. How do you guys think they should be thinking about the strategy here? Like, should Democrats be fighting back against every unqualified dangerous nominee? Do we need to pick and choose? There's the need to be an overall strategy to deal with all of them. What do you think?
Well, first of all, we've already picked and choose because Linda McMahon is also on deck to be Secretary of Education. These are just the four worst ones. They'll also run through four different committees if we still live in a world where there are cabinet confirmation hearings, but they'd be through Judiciary, Intelligence, Armed Services, and the Health Committee, right? Those are four groups of senators who will all have the ability to decide how they want to mount this argument with their fellow senators. So to me, it's just like we're sort of still waiting for what a group of Republicans who have their own specific issues and concerns, where they're going to have backbone, where they're going to be trying to backchannel to have these nominations withdrawn so they don't have to go up against Trump, where they're going to be willing to draw the line. Like, we just have no idea. And we were talking about this before time, but like, Democrats aren't even really shotgun in this fight.
We're just riding along.
And so it's just like, none of these people should be in positions of authority, and some might get through. We don't know, but we should fight as if they can all be defeated. I don't know what else we would do.
It's a question of emphasis, right? I mean, because we don't have the power to block anybody. All we can do is get information into the public domain and make it politically damaging for Trump or the Republicans who vote for these nominees. And so, I mean, I guess Republicans could try to sort of collapse the time frame of the hearings, do them all at once, do certain things that make it harder to tell a story about all of these nominees or anyone individually. But I do think it's more about the framing, because we just can't be like the norms and institutions party and the ones who are opposed to change.
Except on the pardon.
Whereas Trump's people are all like radical disruptors coming in to change the government that everyone just voted against because they hate it, right? I mean, that's where I'm concerned. It's just I worry about the Democrats in the U.S. Senate coming at like a bunch of traditionalists coming at these arguments in the most traditional kind of institution defending ways and not being remotely compelling.
I think these are a bunch of grifting kooks who will put our health and lives in danger and our security.
Right.
Right. It's got to be about how it would affect people.
Or if Kash Patel is spending all his time going after Trump's enemies, who is focused on combating ISIS or foreign espionage or human trafficking or all those fucking LA rich kids that said they were on the rowing team that got into great schools. That's what we need the FBI doing.
Justice should be served.
I don't mind.
Was
like
it called
that.
Varsity Blues?
That's what it was. Varsity.
That's the name of the operation.
Oh, it was Varsity Blues. FBI operation. Yeah. Also a fantastic, film that probably doesn't hold up if we saw it again from when we saw it as kids.
It didn't for a while. Now it's back.
Trump won. It's now good again.
You didn't do the whipped cream bikini?
Yeah, but it's got to be about how this would affect people.
So
that's just, that to me is always the number one, like, and to the extent that people aren't qualified, it's that their lack of qualifications is not something that's going to help them, like, reform an agency to improve people's lives, but it's actually going to hurt you having them there.
I guess that's right. That's the broader argument we need to be making, I suppose, to the country. If we whether these people get confirmed or not, what is the story we're starting to tell about the Trump era? What is the argument that's going to persuade four Republicans on each of these people?
Separate.
No, but it is. But that's important too, right? Because these are hearings for the country, but they are also hearings for Murkowski, for Collins, for Curtis, the guy that replaced Mitt Romney, that seems to have suddenly discovered.
Curtis, I didn't even remember his name. Good for you.
Romney has some Romney vibes to him. Cassidy, these kinds of people.
Well, that's what I do think. Making national security arguments is one way to potentially do that, because you do have a couple of Republican senators who are a little more old school Republican,
genuinely concerned about these institutions too, and like defending our country. Also, I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could have a unique set of problems in that he is pro-choice, and there's a bunch of pro-life Republicans who have expressed concern about the pick. I wonder if that could take him down. We'll see.
Yeah. Speaking of Democrats deciding whether to fight back, there have been a couple of notable instances lately of Democrats expressing modest support for some of Trump's nominees and initiatives. Colorado Governor Jared Polis tweeted a few weeks ago that he was, quote, excited by RFK Jr.'s appointment because of his stance against big pharma and corporate agriculture, even though he said he doesn't personally agree with his stance on vaccines. And on Sunday, Bernie Sanders tweeted, quote, Elon Musk is right when it comes to criticizing Pentagon spending and waste, prompting favorable replies from Trump allies like Elon and Matt Gaetz, and less favorable replies from several angry liberals on Twitter. Favorite kind. What do you guys think about how and whether Democrats should collaborate with the Trump administration on initiatives where they agree?
Yo, RFK, let's collab. Let's hook up. I think Jared Polis screwed up by just sounding too credulous. You know, like, I just, healthier food sounds great. Do we think that RFK is going to succeed at that when he's up against the broader Project 2025 deregulatory agenda where they're gutting environmental protections? I don't think so. I also think RFK Jr. cares mostly about keeping vaccines out of our arms. So I think that's going to be the issue there. I think the criticism of Bernie, in my opinion, is very stupid. I think that Democrats have long wanted to cut the Pentagon budget, as they should. I think we all should want to cut waste and fraud and abuse, and we should be in support of the goal and then hold their feet to the fire based on whether they're successful or not.
Yeah, can I just say, Bernie was doing something there that is substantively and politically smart and good.
Per usual.
Right? Like, I actually think that Democrats on this Doge thing, like, should beat Trump and Elon and all the rest of them to the punch on a reform agenda, and we should put forward a list of waste, fraud, and abuse in government. It should include corporate subsidies, corporate tax breaks, no-bid contracts, any other kind of waste that we can find in government, and then, you know, present it to all them, see if they do it, and if they don't do it, oh, I thought you were a reformer. Why aren't you reforming the system? And then criticize Elon and Trump's moves based on who they'd hurt and who they'd rip off. Elon Musk said that we should delete the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has saved consumers tens of millions of dollars over the last
decade. Very mad at the CFPB because Marc Andreessen, a crypto billionaire who's invested much, much more in crypto, has decided it's bad because I think some of the people he worked with were quote unquote debanked. I'm not sure if that's even true because I don't know. They were selling fraudulent or risky assets. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, they've always hated the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The reason it's called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and not the Consumer Financial Protection Agency is because Republicans prevented it from becoming an agency. It was originally supposed to be led by Elizabeth Warren, whose idea it was, but Republicans prevented her from leading the agency. She then ran for the Senate, so joke's on them because she stuck around. But they've always hated it. They've always lied about what it does, and what it does is protect consumers at the expense of big banks, credit card companies, airlines, et cetera. And so they've always hated it. But yes, they like we cannot defend things just because Elon Musk or any of these people say that they're bad. We just can't. That just can't be what our politics are. Politics are not going to be defined. We have to have our own politics. And sometimes the fucking Doge people are going to be right. Now, the Polis thing bothers me because this idea that you should look past what RFK Jr. says on vaccines because you have a problem with high fructose corn syrup or whatever is to, like, I think, misunderstand the job. And, like, even, and Polo's walked it back a bit, but even in his statement, he's like, I hope RFK Jr. doesn't withdraw vaccines. And it's like, well, if you're already at the place where you're hoping he doesn't do something that would be deadly and devastating, you've given away the game.
Yeah, like, there's, like, an easy edit to Polo's statement that would have been fine if he said, like, I don't like vaccine mandates, but RFK Jr.'s views on vaccines are dangerous, and I would not have picked him if he is confirmed. I hope he'll follow through on his commitment to take on big pharma and corporate agriculture, right? Like, that would have been, that would not have ruffled a bunch of feathers. Like, he was bad pick. He shouldn't have picked. Start with that. Bad pick. I don't like him. His vaccine views are crazy. He does have some views on other things that, you know, if we can't stop him, then great.
Right. Well, and also back in August, Polis had said that RFK Jr.'s views on vaccines are dangerous, and he would be dangerous if he was in charge of right. Health and Human Services. So it was just strange.
I think he's dealing with some libertarian state politics and was opposed to vaccine mandates at some point. So anyway, but I think the challenge for the DOGE folks is just that the majority of federal spending is mandatory. It's Social Security, it's Medicare, it's Medicaid. We pay about $1 trillion worth of interest on our own debt. Then there's
a flashback to 2011.
Here. Yeah. Then there's $850 billion in defense spending. So finding huge cuts, like Elon Musk says, I think he wanted to cut $2 trillion a year. That's going to be incredibly difficult. Now, good luck trying. But once you, when you're talking about those levels of cuts, you're going to start really, really hurting people in service of extending the Trump tax cuts for the richest people in the country. And that's the story we have to tell.
This is also like a very old game that Republicans have played for a long time,
yeah.
Which is you find some ridiculous sounding spending in the federal government, of which there is a lot, and a line item somewhere that sounds fucking nuts, or you point to employees who seem like they shouldn't be there. Elon Musk is like putting federal employees on blast, tweeting about them to try to fire them. But, you know, even if you eliminated every federal employee in the entire government, that's like a tiny percentage of the overall budget. It's not spent on staffers. It's spent on payments to people.
It's a tiny portion of discretionary spending.
Yes.
There was the Republican study group, which is 170 members of the House and all the Republican leadership. They put out a budget earlier this year, and it called for raising the Social Security retirement age, which is just a giant cut to Social Security because the age is really just a means of deciding how much money you get. There was a story just the other day that, like, if they're going to want to pay for all of these Trump tax cuts, what are they going to do to pay for it? Well, they want to means test food stamps. Joe Biden, who we're obviously in a bad mood with this week, he personally increased
this week
and for many months. But like, he didn't get a lot of credit for this, didn't get a lot of attention. But he basically, there was a bipartisan bill that gave the president the authority to increase food stamps. And so he issued the largest increase in food stamps that any president has ever done permanently. And he increased them by $36 per month. It amounts to about $400 a year, not a lot of money. Republicans have already started talking about that in order to pay for the extension of the Trump tax cuts, they want to revoke the president's authority to increase food stamps by a few hundred dollars so that they can cut a person making $5 million a year, cut their taxes by $200,000, right? That's what they want to do. And you'll have Vivek, and you'll have Elon running around the country talking about expensive office chairs and silly sounding science projects, but that's where the real cuts are going to be. They're going to start by going after food stamps and Medicaid because they start by going after poor people and the working poor and slowly work their way up to Social Security.
So John McCain's whole shtick, the bridge to nowhere, pork barrel spending. This isn't new. Bridge.
Yeah, and then that guy died in a plane crash, follow the money.
not John McCain.
No, I know. Ted Stevens. Ted Stevens.
Yeah, you're just calling it Doge because it's some crypto joke.
Anyway,
very funny.
We're back at Simpson Bowles now. So, all right, before we go, remember Cheryl Hines?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first lady of HHS.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So over the weekend, the wife of RFK Jr. posted this Instagram reel. Let's take a look.
No, you can't take a shower. I'm doing a video. No. No, you've got to give me a second. I'm doing a video for Hines and Young. Okay, this is, honey, the 60% off.
Okay, for those of you who are just listening, you can go check this out on the YouTube version. This is a video of Cheryl Hines in her bathroom. She's holding up some of the lifestyle products she sells while Bobby showers behind her. fully naked, but thank God, mostly obstructed by Heinz's head. Among the wares, she's selling a $20 clean, eco-conscious soy wax Maha candle. Mm-hmm. What is just...
Make shows. So she's getting in on the Make America Healthy Again grift. Horny again. Yeah. Well, I'm horny. I'm horny watching that video, of course. Also, just...
She's getting her beak wet.
That's the other thing. It's like, wow, Cheryl Hines, all those stories. Oh, wow. I wonder what Cheryl Hines thinks about all this. Turns out she's in.
It's just
Everybody loves a winner.
Like, it's like the Melania stuff. Yes.
Verbatim this. Like, every time there is a horrible married guy in public life, there's this weird coping conversation. Like, oh, maybe Melania was secretly hates it. Maybe it's a cry for help. Maybe she was replaced with a body double. Yeah. Like, no, she's a horrible person. She married to Donald Trump.
America's, like, scammy capitalist id is just unleashed in the second Trump administration here. It's like, they're selling this. Cash Patel's selling his wine. They're all making money. No. They're all getting rich.
Well, the real piece of it, like, I mean, look, Jared Kushner already got his $2 billion kickback from the Saudis once he left government after the first Trump term. Now we've got Tiffany's Trump's father-in-law being the, like, kind of envoy for Middle Eastern affairs. There was a report in the Wall Street Journal that one of the ways that business, like, CEO types are trying to figure out how to suck up to Trump, one of the things they're doing is buying the Trump cryptocurrency.
Oh my God.
To try to, like, grease their way in. The avenues into this administration for corruption this time are so unbelievable.
We haven't even talked about one of the biggest, which is tariffs. Right? Because all these companies can apply to get exceptions on the tariffs, which they did in the first Trump administration. And how are they going to do that? Gee, I wonder. What are they going to do for
lobbyist
that?
Susie Wiles, chief of staff.
And one of the arguments that was made during the immunity debate, in which the Supreme Court decided that the presidents have this incredible immunity, was how can you punish corruption if what bribery is bribing someone to use their official powers? If you can't be held accountable for your use of official powers, how do you prove bribery? I think that will become...
This is why maybe we can get our pardon from Joe Biden if we just...
Don't think but he the, likes us.
It's not the most important part.
We're going to cut a check. That's okay. What I'm saying.
Right. Whatever it takes. It's not the most important part of that video, but just like, I really hate the... RFK Jr., why are you showering behind me? You're in full hair and makeup.
I know.
He had to get... How did he get into the fucking shower? We can see the full shower in the shower door.
His whole body's wet too.
He's been in there. You're the problem. You started shooting the video after he started fucking showering. What are you talking about?
Thank God there's not another season of Curb, because I don't know, like,
done. Bum bum
but I will watch back episodes.
Oh, for sure.
Because I have a locked in sort of okay. It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, that's fine. We're not going to get into a debate about
that. Do you think Cash Patel was selling a supplement that promised to detoxify the COVID vaccine in your body?
It was like D-Vax and relax or something, yes. And mRNA, and you'll be better in no time.
It's so bad.
You take a pill and it'll suck the COVID vaccine right out of you.
I don't know. How much worse could it be than all the half the Charlotte Tilbury shit I put on my face and all of its promises? Nothing.
The one thing, when you listen to enough
don't wash my face
right-wing media, you realize how symbiotic their content and their products are. Like, it's a lot of stuff about how the economy is about to collapse, therefore you should flip your IRA and put it all in gold. It's absolutely horrible advice constantly all the time. That's apocalyptic.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot more successful than our Jack Smith bobblehead business.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a Cyber Monday sale in the Crooked store. You go to crooked.com/store. We've got incredible offerings there. Not joking.
Probably a fire sale on 2024 merch.
Do you think this is the pitch the marketing team wanted?
No, I think it's fine. There's a Christmas ornament that says hope on it you might like. Those are marked down. Check those guys out.
I dropped the Vote Saved America ornament for our tree
that
on the
was
ground.
A good one.
I know, I said to someone and they said, that story sounds a little Ruth Conda. I don't know. I don't think you really did that. I was like, I know it doesn't sound real, but it happened. It was Julia Wick who made that joke. That's our show for today.
Great
we
job.
Did it. We did it, guys. We got it through. We'll be back with a new show on Wednesday. Bye, everyone. If you want to listen to Pod Save America ad-free or get access to our subscriber Discord and exclusive podcasts, consider joining our Friends of the Pod community at crooked.com/friends or subscribe on Apple Podcasts directly from the Pod Save America feed. Also, be sure to follow Pod Save America on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube for full episodes, bonus content, and more. And before you hit that next button, you can help boost this episode by leaving us a review and by sharing it with friends and family. Pod Save America is a Crooked Media production. Our producers are David Toledo and Saul Rubin. Our associate producer is Farah Safari. Reed Cherlin is our executive editor, and Adrian Hill is our executive producer. The show is mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Jordan Cantor is our sound engineer, with audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Writing support by Hallie Kiefer. Madeline Herringer is our head of news and programming. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Andy Taft is our executive assistant. Thanks to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Haley Jones, Phoebe Bradford, Joseph Dutra, Ben Hefcote, Mia Kelman, Molly Lobel, Kirill Pelaviv, and David Tolles.